Welcome back. We Watch, We Collect, a baseball podcast presented by Believe Podcast Network. I got Chris here, former host, collector, fan of everything. Finally got him back after, what is it, like a year?
It has felt like a year. Hello again, Castellon. It's good to be back. Thank you for having me again. Sorry for the extended hiatus. Kind of stepped into a time loop there, and I just recently escaped, so it's good to be back on the podcast. I've been seeing your progress from afar and doing good work, so I'm happy to be back here.
Yeah, so you've been gone for a while for reasons we don't need to say at all.
Raisins, as our friend Squeaky says, but anyways.
Anyway, we got quite a few things to talk about baseball related, because this is a baseball podcast.
Baseball.
You want to start with a lot of things. Well, the main thing you want to start with is what the new thing that's coming up this season is, the rules.
Yeah, I'm getting reacclimated with the sport of baseball after kind of being away from it for several months. But yeah, just catching up with the news and the new rules that were implemented for the upcoming 2023 season. So I know it's something you've already brushed on before in previous episodes, but
right.
I'm looking to just pick your brain about it a little more, because it will affect games going forward, you know, certain games. So let's see what it's about.
So then what rules do you not know about yet?
I know about the shift band, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, right? Even though that's nothing new, but just running down the list here. And that's pretty much it off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's the pitch clock, shift band, the bigger bases, and the, well, I get not new, but the runner on second, that they're keeping it.
Yeah, the extra inning, right. Runner on second.
All right, so well, I guess I'll kind of bring you up to speed on what the rules are, like the numbers are. The big one is the pitch clock. So it's 20 seconds. No, well, first it's 15 seconds a batter with no runners on, 20 seconds a batter with runners on, limited to two pickoff moves per at-bat. After that, it's a balk. If it's a pickoff move and the runner is not out, it's a balk. Now, that I just learned that just recently.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten about the pickoff attempt limit. Like, that's, I totally forgot about that aspect.
Yeah, that's the new thing that they're doing now. So the pitch clock, I mean, everyone already knows my take on it. Like, what's your thing with the pitch clock now?
I think it's more about certain pitchers than, you know, pitchers overall, because certain pitchers just take way too much time to pitch, no matter what's happening, whether it's a delivery or windup or a signals thing. But we've already seen this in person, like you said, and it's nothing new. We saw this in AAA baseball with the Albuquerque Isotopes in the last season or two. Right. And you know, it's not too much of a difference, but sometimes, you know, if you've been watching baseball a long time, you do notice it, how quicker the pitches are delivered compared to, you know, even like 5 years ago. Right. If you're watching a game on TV or even attending one in person. So it's still getting used to it, but it's nothing new. Like I've repeated, it's just, I think it was to speed up certain pitchers, but everyone has to adhere to it. And I think it'll cut the overall game time by a bit. That's another reason why it was implemented. MLB wants shorter games. But
it's been proven.
Yeah.
That minor league and even here, it's been cut by 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, so the average has gone down by half an hour or so. So that's not too big one, but it will affect certain situations. But, you know, it won't, like, completely change the fabric of the game, so.
Do you want shorter games?
Yes and no. I don't mean to give a divided answer. It's just that I enjoy actually watching a baseball game on TV and in person. I don't, you know, I'm not usually on my phone or, you know, on the concourse looking for stuff other than, you know, when we're getting food or at the pro shop. But I like to watch the majority of the game. Every pitch, every, you know, strike and ball. So, I don't want it to be 5 hours, though, because, like, they were talking recently how college football games are, like, 4 or 5 hours, especially nationally televised ones, playoff games. And it's just, like, not every game needs to be the dang Super Bowl with, you know, 3 hour pre-games and 2 hour half times and whatever have you. It's just, you just want to see good baseball. And if it's more condensed, then, you know, the more the merrier. But it's just, I don't think it changes much. But to answer your question, I'm leaning towards, yes, a little shorter games, but doesn't mean I don't enjoy watching the whole experience of a baseball game.
See, I'm like the opposite. Not that I don't like the pitch clock, obviously I can't do anything about it. I don't care. Like and I've said this already with my episode with Jeff Blum. Like, I don't care how long the game goes. That's just me. I don't care how long it goes. I don't care if it's a 5 hour game. I don't care if it's a 9 hour game, because I've seen a 9 hour game on TV and yes. I do not care.
I know exactly which one you're referring to.
and I don't care. I've seen a 9 hour game. I don't care. Granted, it was a World Series game, but still, I don't care how long a game it goes. I'm there to watch a sport I love. If you want a shorter game, or if you're not entertained by how long it is, then leave. Simple as that. Or turn the TV off. That's just the way I see it. That's just how, and I'll tell that to anybody. It's like, oh, baseball's too long. It's boring. Well, if you look at it, baseball on average is like 3 hours, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How long are football games? Say 3 hours and 3.5 hours.
Yeah, not
there's no difference. And I guarantee you, football has more commercials.
Oh, absolutely. Media timeouts, totally.
And this is a baseball podcast. I don't want to get into my whole rant about football because I'm already done watching it to begin with. That Super Bowl was god awful to start. It was stupid. We haven't even talked about the Super Bowl yet. Did you watch it?
I watched it.
Did you like it?
The game or the whole thing?
The game.
The game, not so much.
It sucked.
I thought the
No. I'll take that back. The game was good. It was a good game. It was tied within the first 4 minutes of the game. 7-7. And yeah. It kept going back and forth, getting tied. It was the last 5 minutes is what I was just completely done.
Yeah, you call it with soft. Football.
It was soft.
I remember that post. The whole
running the clock, taking a knee. Whoever their running back was, not even going for a touchdown, just going down at the 1 yard line so they could take a knee. That was bullshit.
I understand. God, I'm
getting into a whole football thing now. It's not even a football podcast.
We'll cover that later. But but the game, I just didn't enjoy the game. I thought, in terms of the football, just a quick run here, with the divisional round was way more entertaining than the championship and the Super Bowl. But the overall experience was. I did not really enjoy this postseason, but anyways.
No.
The other rules are bigger bases, right?
Yeah, which I... If you got something for that one, go for it. I don't care about the bigger bases.
It's more of a safety thing than anything. And it's just, you know, I remember Eloy Jimenez getting injured last year, I think, running bases. He pulled his hamstring by just trying to sprint it out. That was more of like a...
Doesn't know how to run.
Yeah, type of injury, but the base did affect it. But, you know, if the base was bigger, I don't know if that would, you know, helped him with his injury or not. But that's just an example I'm trying to give. But it's more of a safety thing than anything. So that's more like we'll see it when we get to it type of thing. When we cross that bridge, we'll get to it type of thing. It's just there's not much you can say about it other than it's a safety protocol. So will it lead to someone reaching a slide quicker or their fingertip reaching a base quicker?
Very minute if it ever happens.
I know. Like
Very small. And then if like, he was safe by that much. Well, it was because of the bigger base. Like,
exactly.
Oh,
like God. That's what everyone will go to. But we know the analytics will probably not even prove that to be a real thing when we come to it. So the shift band is
that's a big one.
Quite interesting.
Which is good. We could talk about it now because I didn't really get to talk about it that much with Jeff Blum. Mm-hmm. Like it was kind of just like a like just like quick thing. But the shift ban.
Wait. I feel it will just help certain hitters so much, and at the same time, it'll help people who know how to hit anywhere, a la Juan Soto. Like that doesn't won't even affect his numbers, because the pull hitters will just are gonna like thrive this season with this shift ban.
Yeah,
because that's why the shift was created in the first place for people who were pulling either left or right. But yeah, people who just hit everywhere. It won't affect them, but you're going to see a lot more offensive numbers, not just from certain guys. Yes, I think there's going to be a lot more RBIs this season and a lot more higher scoring games because of no more shifts, at least in the initial, I believe. I think the months of March and April are going to be really high scoring games. We're going to see like 12, 14 games, I believe, because hitters are just going to hit, but... It won't be like absolutely like
skyrocket numbers.
Yeah, it'll be like a spike, but then it'll turn into regular baseball. By the time we get to summer, is this gonna be this, you know, the dog days of summer, you know, hot dog in the stands type of baseball games, you know, what we've seen for over 100 years, so. But I think we'll see a spike in terms of this numbers as a result of this ban on the shifts. Certainly for certain guys, you're going to see guys hit 450. And that because I haven't completely heard your take on it.
Shift ban, it's hard because I favor pitchers a lot, and I know the shift helped them a lot with getting certain outs. Mm-hmm. But I never liked the second baseman in the shallow right field. Yeah. I never liked that. I think it was, if the ball's gonna go through, let it go through. Like if not, then I don't know. I'm like half and half. Like it's like the runner on second thing. It's like I don't care. I mean, games are gonna go long as that hitters are gonna keep hitting, mm-hmm. and the shift ban is just gonna. It's hard to have like a firm take of whether I like it or not if it's like we haven't seen it yet, which we're gonna see it tomorrow. Yes. Games start tomorrow for spring training.
Yes.
So that's one thing. So we'll see it tomorrow. Everyone's going to have eyes on, I think, mainly is the shift ban. Pitch clock, not so much because these pitchers don't get stretched out for 5-6 innings. Yeah. Spring training to start, so it doesn't matter. So exactly. It's like they pitch like 40 pitches at most, and then they're out, and then kind of however they're managing these spring training games. So I get that. But the shift ban is going to be the big one. I'm more interested in the pitch clock later in the season. Like let's stay on the pitch clock real quick. So, pitch clock is gonna matter August and September only. Yeah. That's only when it's gonna matter. That's only when the pickoff attempts are gonna matter. When there's gonna be arguments. When there's gonna be players getting thrown out. Managers getting thrown out. Like all kind of things. Like there's gonna be reviews. Like oh, did he pick him or not? Well, if he didn't, it's a balk. If he did, it's an out. Like that's what's gonna happen now.
Yeah, and a couple things. I heard yesterday the MLB announced that they're gonna be a lot more stricter with enforcing balks, with not just this new rule, but they're just gonna implement it more. So when those tight games are happening in August and September, not only will it be intense, but like you said, that's when it's gonna matter most because there's gonna be divisional races, there's gonna be wild card races. And every game's going to matter in those months. And these rules will play a bigger part than you think.
And then the only time that fans and players... it's hard to judge the players because obviously you have to talk to players and managers. But the only time when fans are really going to care is at the end of the season. When their team is is a game and a half or two games behind a division or a wild card spot. And like that one pitch clock, just the batter wasn't in the box at 1 second and he was called strike three. And oh, if he would have had that at bat, it would have changed the face of the game. Like if he would have that, if that pitcher hadn't have wasted that time, he would have struck him out instead of walked him. It was like, well, absolutely. You don't know. Like, you honestly don't know. It's like the whole, like the Wilmer Flores thing in 2021. Absolutely. The Giants. Like, if they gave him a safe on the check swing, would he have saved the game? You don't know that. Oh, it's Wilmer Flores. He sucks. Well, a lot of shit happens.
Yeah. So
that's my no one's going to care at the start of the season. I certainly won't. Like, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what it is. But if my team is in a race, yeah, I'm going to care because that's what fans do. They care most when it involves their team. That's
absolutely.
Any fan.
Yep, absolutely.
And I know we're talking about the shift ban, but pitch clock, like that's it's only going to matter for fans. It's only going to matter toward the end of the season. Now, shift ban, same thing. No one's going to care in the beginning. No one's going to care if, you know, a guy's hitting really good and he's hitting past the shift ban and all that stuff. But the moment the August and September days, which I like to break my season up, you know this, in three parts, which is April and May, June and July, and August, September. Yes. So I like to break my season in 3 months. August, September is my crunch time months where I pay attention the most.
When he pays attention, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, when I pay attention the most. No, I watch almost every single game. So, but August, September, I'm more paying attention. Like June and July, I'm relaxed because it's like, all right, chill. We're getting close to All-Star break. I'm relaxed. But the shift ban, during those 2 months, the moment something happens in a game that, oh, if that shift ban was there, that wouldn't have been a hit, and that guy wouldn't have scored, and we would have won that game. It's like, it's going to be a whole, of course, I'm probably going to be the same way, but I never cared about the shift ban or the shift to begin with. Like, if you didn't care about the shift to begin with, then you shouldn't care about it being gone.
Yeah, I remember us talking about it, and we said that you can still hit with shifts, and the players who did end up doing that, they found ways to get around shifts, but not everyone can do it, but it wasn't like completely impossible to get past the shift. So we've already discussed that, and I agree with the sentiments you're making. So,
and then on like the shift, it's like I don't know, that's just like the end of it right there, like that. No one's gonna care until later in the season, when it matters on their team. I'm probably going to be like that too, because now that I'm aware that the shift is gone, now that you're aware that something is gone, everyone likes it, you know, that whole thing. Like, you don't realize what you have until it's gone. Like, everyone's going to be like, oh, if that shift was there. It's like, bitch, you didn't care about the shift. Like, you didn't pay attention who was there.
Only when it affected
you. In right shallow field and took a hit away from your guy. Like, you did not care. Like, it was natural. Like, oh, the shift is on. Well, that's not a hit. Now that it's going to be gone, oh, that shouldn't be a hit if the shift was there. That's how fans are. Like,
they'll find a way.
Any sport, that's just how fans are. They'll find something to.
They'll find a way.
Oh, Brent, look, SSP. Did you see it?
Yeah.
You see it right there. We're watching 2023 top series one breaks, and he finally, which is funny because now we're looking at it, the cards have super short print stamped on the back, so it's a lot easier to find instead of looking at four tiny little numbers on the back,
right?
Which I think is a whole lot better. But now you see it, now you know what I'm talking about. It's a lot easier now. Anyway.
Much easier. But to the point, yeah, they're going to find a way to complain about it and make it relevant.
I probably will. Probably not, because I don't really like to complain unless it's like a sure like thing.
A sure thing to complain about?
Yeah. Only when it benefits my team. That's all fans are.
Absolutely.
The next rule, which it's not coming in 2023, but let's talk about it, might be here in 2024. The automatic ball and strike zone.
Yeah, the automatic calls.
How are you feeling about it?
I believe it's coming from an efficient analytical mindset, but removing the human element of an umpire calling balls and strikes is kind of
not baseball.
Not just not baseball, but it's just like you're tampering with a part of the soul of the game. Because, you know, it's so easy to get angry at an umpire who makes a call that goes against your guy who's at bat. Or if you see a beautiful strike be called on the top corner of a certain umpire's strike zone, like there's beauty to that. And you're going to just give it to, I'm not going to say, you know, give it to a robot, but just give it to technology. And it's just, I believe they've been doing it in Japan for how long?
They did in the minor leagues last year.
The minor leagues? But
Ice Topes had it last year.
The Ice Topes did? But I know they've been using it in Japan as well, right?
I'm not familiar with
Japanese
or Korean baseball.
I could be wrong, but it's nothing entirely new, this automatic call system. It's just, you know, to just try to implement this, you know, in the 21st century, but in the national pastime still, is just, I don't like it at all. Like, I think, you know.
Keep the umpires.
Yes, keep the umpires.
Well, they'll be there. They just won't be calling
the ball and strikes. Yeah, but pretty much taking out their main role, you know. Even though it's just one umpire who makes the calls, you know. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's kind of just messing with the fabric of the game, part of the soul of the game, and I just don't like it.
I like it to an extent because I do think there is a certain point where I think umpires need to be held accountable.
I agree with that.
Which they don't. I agree. They're protected by the union.
It's no different from, you know, NFL, NBA, NHL referees. All the referees are protected. Soccer referees.
Right. But I will argue that, though, that no other official for any other sport has the type of attention fans have like the home plate umpire does, because you can't compare. I'll firmly believe this. You can't compare a home plate umpire to a referee at a football game or a ref at a basketball game.
I agree.
Like, because a lot of that, of what the ref, let's stick to football, because a lot of people know like the different things that happen in football, like holding, face mask,
pass interference
is the big one. That's the big one. So in it, a lot of it is interpreted of what the umpire or the umpire, the the referee.
Yeah, the head ref.
I keep telling you to say umpire, but the referee determines kind of.
He makes the announcements, that's for sure. He makes the calls.
Right, of what is pass interference, though.
Yeah.
But then they can challenge it, whether or not, which is a new thing now because of the Saints game, of what deems pass interference now, or offensive pass interference, or defensive pass interference.
Right.
So I get that. But it is a little bit judgment-based, but the entire game of baseball, the ball and strike zone, is entirely up to the umpire.
Yes, he.
There is a picture on screen. There's a box on the screen. We understand. It's 17 inches wide. It's the height from the knees of the waist. Like, we get it. But if a umpire is feeling very generous, it all depends on him.
Yes, the umpire is a part of every single play in baseball.
No other official in any sport has that type of quote-unquote
consistency, I think.
No. Not even consistency. That type of power.
Yeah, that
like
authority.
The umpire has the power to call a guy out in the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded if you wanted to. And you can't argue with him.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, but you could argue a ref. You can challenge anything you want.
Yeah, like you can also, you can't argue an umpire's decision if that guy reached base or not to call it a perfect game or not. Remember?
Right.
Galarraga.
Right. Yeah. Jim Joyce, the umpire that blew it.
Yeah,
he's already publicly apologized. Like,
yeah, but his decision
right
is just set in stone, and it was a whole saga behind that, like you just said. But that just is a big example, and like there's been so many other examples. And also, for over 100 years, how many times have people yelled at an umpire at a baseball game compared to the officials at other sports? You want to talk about football? People being mad about football calls nowadays. Baseball umpires have been being yelled at for over 100 years. So
that's it. That and so like back to like my main point. I was like, I'd like it to an extent. Is I like it because it kind of keeps, not that it keeps the umpire accountable because he's not making the calls anymore, but it gives, everyone's going to miss the, I get to yell at the umpire. Like, you can't do that through TV anymore. You can't do that at the game anymore. The players can't argue anymore. Like, the manager doesn't even have to look at the strike zone anymore. He doesn't have to look at the placement of the catcher. Like, is he in? Is he out? Is he, like, where are you set up? Like, you can't do that. Like they're not doing that anymore. Granted, I know I'm not a manager, but I know that's what they do. Like, that's how they look at the ball and strike zones. Like, I don't know. It takes away, like, that fun human aspect of it.
Yeah, the human element.
But I kind of like it because it kind of, it's going to make hitters and pitchers, I think, a little bit more better. Because I've seen it in the clubhouse for the Isotopes, like being around those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pitchers that don't like it the most. And because of the shape of it. Like I talked about it with Jeff Blum, like it's wider and shorter on the top and bottom. So, like, I was talking to one, I forgot who it was, but I was a pitcher, where it's like, if you're a sinker ball pitcher or a really change-up guy, like, and it's that much, if the bottom of the zone is brought up a little bit higher, your sinker is shit now. Now you got to bring it up, which is just maybe above their knees to a hitter, and it's hittable now. Like, same thing with a change-up. Like, those are downward movement pitches, change up a little slower, sinker a lot faster, but still, now you got to raise it because that strike zone is raised. Like, that's what sucks.
I hear you. It's definitely going to affect pitchers more because it's more of an adjustment for them than hitters. So, it's like learning a whole new style of pitching, for lack of a better term, because it's just it's more of an adjustment for them. So I can understand why they would gripe about it more. But are there any other rules that are implemented this year?
Any other rules?
Yeah, like any other major rules? Because
I don't think so.
It's really easy to be doubtful and cynical of these changes this upcoming season, because like we just said, it won't like affect early on. We'll see it on occasions in certain situations, but it's going to matter most when we get to crunch time. But it's going to show itself. It's going to present itself in situations during this season where you don't think it will. We've seen it before with, you know, slight changes and complete rule changes before, but it's going to show itself in ways you don't expect. So it's easy to brush this stuff off, but it'll show itself during the season. So it's definitely worth discussing. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on, because there's going to be those situations where, you know, bases loaded, down by 2-3 runs, so a certain call is made, or a shift is not implemented, or did the runner reach base before the tag? You know, you're gonna see those examples with these new rules. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited for this upcoming season regardless.
I am too. Obviously, I am really excited. And the last thing I will talk about on this episode is my take of how I feel the MLB has been for the past couple of years. And I think a lot of people will agree with it. I think you'll agree with it. But next thing I want to talk about is the new thing where it had everybody, like, well, not everybody, but most people, like, wondering, oh, man, what's he got to say? Is Evan Drellick's book, which, people that don't know, Evan Drellick was beat writer for Houston, got fired, went to the Red Sox, got fired, and now he worked for the Athletic, and kind of had the whole story about the Houston Astros cheating thing and all that blah, blah, blah. So I didn't read the book. I listened to the book. Mm-hmm. I listened to it. I had it like on like 2.5 speed because the guy who was reading it was so slow, dude. I was like, oh my God. I was like, get on with it, bro. So I had it like at 2.5 speed when I listened to it. But I'll start with 95% of the book is a backstory, which I don't care. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like about Jim Crane, how he started like being like he was like a bat boy or something like that. He wanted to be a GM because he thought it would be so much fun. And then he worked his way up, and then he was a business guy, and then that's how they picked him up or something like that.
Yeah.
Main takeaway I took from the main story that really grabbed my attention, I was like, damn, I think he was talking about Jim Crane. I hope I'm right. If I'm wrong, it sucks. But either way, it's the point of the moral of the story is I think Evan Drellick was talking about Jim Crane, that the way that he was as long as you're doing something for me, that's all I care about. So there's a story that Evan Drellick says in a book. It's that in the book that there was a day going on where I guess Jim Crane was working out with the Houston Astros athletic trainer.
Yeah.
That they're working out during yoga or whatever. And that at the end of the, when they were done working out, he went to his office. Time goes by. He calls in the trainer and he fired him.
The one he worked
that
out
same,
with.
Yes, the one he worked out with that same day. And that trainer, I guess, called his friend. He's like, I just got fired. And that his friend told the trainer, well, you were just working out with the guy. Like, what happened? But that's the type of guy that he was. Like, maybe there's are certain people that know how to separate business from pleasure or business from friends. I can appreciate that. But that's like, I don't know, maybe... maybe other people have. Okay. Maybe other people have like different views. Well, Astros. The athletic trainer works for the Astros, not Astros. The Astros. Like, he doesn't have to be friends, or he's the owner or whatever. He doesn't have to be friends with anybody. Like, he doesn't owe anybody anything. It's like, like, maybe there's a part of it, like a part of that. Oh my God, this thing keeps like shutting down. Anyway, maybe there's a part of it where it's like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I don't know. It's, oh man, like that here, like listening to that story, I was like the main thing that hit me was like, what a bitch. Like, that's the main thing that hit my head. But then you think about it, it's like, if you're the owner, like, these people do work for you.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
What
are your thoughts? Because I'm kind of like torn. Like, I'm not saying if you were an owner for a baseball team, you would be an asshole. Like, no. But
yeah,
it, at the end of the day, everyone does work for me. I own this team, and whatever decisions I make are for my ball club.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Regardless, I don't know, because there's are people that work together that have been friends for, I don't know. What are you thinking, right? What are you thinking?
It's a multi-dimensional thing. I know what you're saying and where you're coming from, because you know, there's so many stories of George Steinbrenner doing similar things and having that type of mentality.
Tell who was. If you didn't do shit, you're fired.
Absolutely. He fired and hired Billy Martin like 11 times, like legitimately. And that's just one of the older baseball examples, but it comes across all sports and different businesses. You know, the Phoenix Suns owner who just got ousted, I don't remember his name. He had a whole culture there that got outed. And, you know, no one likes the Washington Commanders owner, Dan Snyder. They're trying to push him out because the way he treats his employees and what happened there. Yeah. You know, so many different examples, but what you're saying about this story in this book is a real thing. You know, it's just people will have their views on it because, you know, there's two sides to every story. But this is just a weirdness about that, because that is a bitch move. You know, so you work out with the guy
like, and the same day
you work out with the guy, you get one last session in his expertise, his service to you, and then you fire him. And I'm pretty sure that trainer's with another team or another organization or whatever. But the whole way of going about it. I agree with you. But yeah, you had mentioned this book last week when it was released, and I need to get a copy and read it myself. But the fact that it's mostly a backstory.
Yeah, that's mainly 95% of the book is a lot of the backstory, like where Evangelic started, like where like these other people, like these owners, where they came, how their GMs came about, how a GM actually was had jail time or something like that, like all kinds of things were going on. And then it gets into the cheating stuff, which it doesn't give you much other of what you just already know. It just gives it in more detail. It's like okay, we're already, I kind of already knew all this shit already. So I honestly thought it was going to be filled with like all kinds of different things that people said, but like not really. Like it's the but it's like the whole like the quote that was released. Oh, Red Sox player that the Dodgers, Jock Peterson during the time was found in the video room cheating and told him to get the fuck out or something like that. So
yeah,
but it's like it's nothing that makes it's gonna make headlines. Like oh, breaking news, player X said this about team Y and they're cheating. Also, it was none of that. Like
yeah,
it was none of that. It was just a huge backstory about the Astros. Of course, he does that because he worked for them, Evangelic, and he was fired because he wanted to bring up the story. He was actually fired by the owner because he wanted to talk about the cheating stuff that was going on, and he fired him. And then he went to the Red Sox, and then he got fired. And then he worked for Athletic and then teamed up with Ken Rosenthal, and that's when they kind of had the story going on in like early 2019 or something like that. Yeah. So,
quite a journey, huh?
It was interesting. I can't even say read because I didn't read it. I listened to it, but it was an interesting listen because, like, it was a lot of what a lot of people were going to read because it was him. Like, he's like a guy who likes to bash teams that he worked for, which in this case was the Astros and the Red Sox. But
yeah, so it's definitely piquing my interest now because I thought it was initially just about the cheating stuff as it was. Referred to, but now that you're telling me, it's more kind of like how the recent Astro organization not only like came about but was run,
and they were close to bankruptcy.
Yeah, because
during that time when they sucked a lot.
Yeah, because
if when they lost was like 100 games 3 years straight.
Yeah, like that's how they got all those draft picks to establish their core. Because yeah. I know the Houston Astros mostly from the 2000s, the Jeff Kent, Lance Berkman. Who's another one? I'm blanking here, but Jeff Bagwell, those players. I know those Astros because you know the 2005 World Series appearance against the White Sox, and I used to play the MLB MVP games on PS2.
MVP baseball 05.
Yeah, 04 and 05. Very good, but I know that to me they're still those Astros because of how I experienced them, but. Like you said, when they initially moved from the NL to the AL in the same division, that move, they were the only team to do that. I think
they moved. I think it was in 2011.
Yeah,
they moved from the NL to the AL.
And what happens? They get those like terrible years, but they get Altuve, they get Correa, they Bregman. Get Bregman and Springer, and like now I'm intrigued to see from the initial years, and then like I'm pretty sure they got new front office during then, and like you said, the rebranding and you know the total transition from the 2000s Astros image that I just mentioned. But now I'm really intrigued to read this book, but maybe we can touch upon it in a later episode. But are mentioning this because it's quite a lot of dialogue in the baseball circle, in the baseball world about this book. So it's good to hear.
And not only about this book, but getting to the next thing now. Apparently, the new thing that players are doing now is outing everybody on cheating.
Yeah, like after the fact.
Like recently, Mookie Betts said that 2018 Boston Red Sox cheated. Video room stuff, which now it's like the new, I don't know, like at this point, everybody cheated It's just who did it right or who did it well enough.
And who got whatever, caught.
Who got caught. And that the Astros did it in a different way that they got caught. And it was like, oh, my God. But at this point, I don't care. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, it. And then even if players come out and say, like, oh, like, they cheated, whatever, it's like, well, MLB already did one investigation, and it lasted, like, a year and a half. Like, I don't think they're going to want to go through all that shit again. And then it's going to be a whole new, like, oh, well, we got this news, and we got this news. We got to talk to this guy. And then it's just, like, a whole mess. It's like, I don't care anymore. I'm not just saying that because, oh, he's talking about the Red Sox. Like, no, like, I genuinely just don't care. Like, even Houston thing, I don't care anymore. Like, if teams cheated, chances are everybody's teams. I cannot fucking talk, right, dude. I cannot talk.
Everybody's cheated. Team
cheated. Like, apparently the Dodgers did, Red Sox did, Yankees did, Astros did, Mets did. Like,
yeah.
It was a big old thing. I don't care.
I agree because I'm just fatigued about it because everyone wants to point the finger, but all this new information, all these stories coming out, is just going to lead to petty grievances and just bad blood. It won't lead to like actual like big time investigations again where, you know, GMs are fired and presidents are banned for a year, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, in the case of Carlos Beltran losing his new job with the Mets, you know,
yeah,
it won't lead to anything like that again because I think everyone's just over it. I still have, you know, a personal beef with the Astros, but it's just because they're so damn good every year and I just want my Angels to get past them finally. It's more about that than me just being upset about it anymore.
We'll talk about your Angels.
Oh, yeah, that's why you brought me here of all places. But we'll talk
some words about your Angels, man. I don't know what they're doing.
But anyway. I'm fatigued about it. Like I said, it doesn't matter what anyone says or reveals because I think everyone's is over and everyone just wants to enjoy the sport. And, you know, like I said, we're looking forward to this new baseball season. I'm not going into it thinking about, oh, the 2018 Red Sox or the 2017 Astros or, you know, even the 2019 Astros with the Altuve fighting his jersey. Like, that was such a whole damn narrative. And I know it's 3 years later or whatever, but it was such a thing. And people just want to be on forums. People want to be on social media about it. And it's like, whatever.
This whole cheating thing is a topic that non-baseball fans will talk about. And that's what sucks.
I hear you.
It sucks, but then it's also, like, frustrating. It's like, if someone who's, like, not a baseball fan, like, immediately the first thing they talk about is the Astros cheating thing.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't care, so I don't really talk about it. But then that's like all you know about, or that's not all you. That's all they know about.
Yeah,
so
and that's like, all they'll go to I'm in like, their dude, arguments.
Shut up, bro! Like you don't.
And that'll be their
you
only.
Don't know.
Exactly. That'll be their only point that they go to in their argument that they want to have. That's like, oh, you cheated in 17, or you know, Red Sox cheated in 18, or Astros cheated in 19. It's like we just said. It's just like it's more about that than what happened. It's just,
I don't care.
Their baseball deserves way better than these controversies because, you know, I've seen just so much competitiveness and grit from players and the day-to-day stuff. Like, it's still baseball. It's not no, you know, weird, bizarre version that's all backwards and cheating and who should be in the Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. Very like, nice. That whole argument. Like, baseball deserves better than that because there's so many good young players and there's so many good current players that this sport needs to be highlighted and spotlighted. Whereas, you know, we're not talking about, you know, if a game's too long or if, you know, the MLB outperformed the NFL and TV ratings. Like, this sport is still the national pastime. So I'm just wanting to keep embracing it for what it truly is. And that's just an awesome sport that we both love. So
the best sport. All right, dude. We got to get into the nitty and gritty, but where's Ohtani going?
You know, You really want me to answer this early because it's going to come up during the summer and it's definitely going to come up during the fall. But
where's he going, dude?
He's going to stay an Angel. And even just the reaction to you hearing me say that, I don't care what you feel about where he's going or not, because it's not that I don't care about your reaction. It's just, I already went through this last year, okay? Juan Soto is a San Diego Padre, and now I have to go get a Padres jersey because I love him so damn much. But you just offered him $100 million short, Lerner family, and now he's in San Diego. And, you know, I don't need to go through this again.
No, that they did not offer him $100 million short. The Nationals offered him over $400 million. He turned it down. Why? Because he did not want to be there.
But, you know,
you can't say that the ownership offered him little money, because they didn't. They offered him a lot.
A whole lot, but I thought he wanted $500.
Well, he wasn't going to get that regardless. But, I mean, 410, I think it was like 410, was well over what anybody was getting at the time. Now 410 is like going to turn into the norm now.
Right.
But, so you can't say that.
No, I'm just saying, I'm still in the mindset of last spring when it had happened. So I just don't like to see my favorite players leave the team. Like, you already went through it with Mookie. And, you know, I thought I was going to go through it with Trout, but he signed that 12-year deal. And now Ohtani is going to go through it. And it's just like, I don't know where he's going to end up. I don't even really, you know, I want him to stay an Angel. And that's all I can say, because he'll probably end up on a team that you're probably going to predict. You nailed the Jacob deGrom signing.
I did.
He signed what, in November?
Yeah.
You called it in like October in 21 or something.
It was like a month after the World Series.
Yeah, like in October 21, like after the previous season. And look what happened. And now you're telling me that Shohei Ohtani is going to end up a New York Met. And now you're just making me just want to just not, you know, except the fact that, you know, free agency and trades are things.
Hey, it's part of baseball, man. Like,
it is. The business of baseball.
Everybody's player goes through it. I've only gone ever upset over one. Truly upset. I'm over it now. You get over it.
Yeah.
And it happens. But it's in the talk, because it shows how. Am I right or am I wrong?
He is an absolute asset to any baseball team.
He is who he is. Like, it comes down to so many things. Like, well, how do you pay him as a hitter, as a pitcher? How much do you pay him? Like, all right, let's get this out of the way real quick. He will not ever have a package good enough for a trade. Or no team will ever have a package good enough for a trade. Ever. Soto's package was shit. Like, Nationals got fleeced, dude. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I don't really know that much about CJ Abrams, but there's no replacing Juan Soto.
Like, the reason why everyone, I believe it too, not just because everyone's saying, but they got fleeced for that trade.
Yeah, like, you can't replace Juan Soto, and you can't play Shohei Ohtani.
So, there's no even amount of package for Ohtani. Like, you would have to put two of them together. One package if as a hitter, and another package if he was a pitcher.
That's a good point.
Like, and then the Angels of all time. I'm not bashing the Angels, because for one, I've told you this many times. Like, they're just a team that really doesn't, like, you can't really, like, put a finger on what they're doing, because they do so much. They sign everybody.
Yeah, we've had so many what I call rentals, just one-year guys or even less than year guys. And circumstances just happen, and they're no longer with the team the following year. And it's just, we don't have that consistency other than, obviously, Mike Trout and, you know, our recent big signings. You want to do good, but as an organization, it's been a good, like, 10 to 15 years of that. It's been, like, even a few years, even before the Albert Pujols deal. It's just like, as a supporter of that club, like, I do acknowledge that. It is not just the performance. It's just the administration. And, you know, you could point the finger, you can name names, you know, Artie Moreno, but
he should have sold the team.
Yeah, I know you felt that, but it's just like, I don't know who is offering in terms of names. I know it's like business groups, but that family is going to own the team, and apparently it's going to affect Ohtani's tenure with the team. And it's just, I'm not so much just resigned to the fact that Ohtani can and probably will leave the Angels. It's just, there is an opportunity that we had, and, you know, it's been about 4 years of it now, and it's just, you got to prepare for multiple outcomes, but I still am going to believe in and support my team this year, no matter what. It's just, it's part of baseball. As you said, it's the capital of baseball, which is a very good episode of Ken Burns' documentary, Baseball. I recommend you watch that, but it's just the business of baseball. It's the business of sports. We've seen it in countless sports, so all the sports. So, yeah, it's just I'm not going to admit he's going to end up a Met, okay? I'm not doing no DeGrom to the Rangers like you predicted. Like, I just don't know where he'll end up.
All right, so here's like another little thing that I like to like break down. Like, I like to break down baseball like a lot.
Do you?
So I'm going to get my mindset in a GM, not okay. An owner, because not an owner, because an owner is different from a GM. So I'm in my mindset. I'm the Angels GM now. Okay.
Okay.
I would not re-sign Shohei Ohtani, or not re-sign, sign. I would not sign him.
Okay.
Because Angels themselves already tied up with a ton of money as it is.
Trout and Rendon.
With Trout, Rendon, not just. There we go. Anyway, they have so much money tied up into two players and many other players that are not even playing on that team and in their stadium, basically their rent for that stadium.
Yeah, I've been hearing about our potential
and
new site.
You spent so much money for all these players with really nothing to show for it. At this point, if you're signing Ohtani for 500, like what I think I'd said, I think I put it on Twitter, but I think I had like 465 or some million dollars, almost 500 million. Mm-hmm. You're signing him for that much. You're not signing him because you hope you could win a championship with him. You're signing him to sell jerseys, and that's it. That's all you're signing him for, and I think that's the wrong reason to sign players.
It is, but it's the business of baseball currently.
It is the business, because that's like the only way the Angels will make money. I'm not saying they're poor.
No,
but they're not like,
when we're talking billions, yeah.
Right, they're not up there. But they're not the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, now Padres. Like, they're not up there.
Yeah, in terms of spending, that's for sure. Like,
don't get me wrong,
we're spending money, but we're in a big market, but it's just like, compared to those other teams in terms of recent free agencies and recent, you know, I absolutely agree with you.
So the reason why I think their owner didn't sign or didn't sell, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think he did not sell because, and I was just giving you shit about it, he's going to be a Met. But I think that he did not sell because I just think that he's going to sign Ohtani and he's just in it for the money he's going to make.
Yeah, because he's...
And that's it.
It's already been almost 4 years of that, and I think he likes that. So, you know, Moreno and his family, his regime, because it's made them a lot of money. Like, as soon as Shohei Ohtani showed up, like... You know, Trout was already the superstar of the team, but to add Ohtani was just a media gold mine, a promotional gold mine.
You get the audience from Japan.
Yeah, a whole country that loves baseball to watch Angels. Basketball team. The Chinese market was watching Houston Rockets games for about 7 years. When Yao Ming was in the NBA. And we've seen the same thing with Ohtani, more so because Ichiro had a huge, like, year in 2001, not just on the field, but as a presence. That 2001 Seattle Mariners team was the darling, even though it was the Arizona Diamondbacks that won that year, right? 2001. The Seattle Mariners during the regular season.
Well, they got beat by the Yankees, though.
Yeah.
The Mariners.
Yeah, the ALCS, right? I could be wrong. But the Mariners, you know, Ichiro was a cultural icon, still is in Japan. Because he made that the jump from, you know, the Japanese professional league to the Major League Baseball. And now, 17 years later, Ohtani did it, but just in a whole new way. So, yeah, it's more about to make money off merchandise and imagery and him wearing the Angels halo than us competing for a championship, for which I really, really want. But, you know, it is what it is. But you bring up good points, but I'm still going to. And it's just, it hurts.
Well, dude, it's sports, man.
Yeah. I'm still looking forward to the season. So, and like I said, you went through it with Mookie, and that was not an easy thing to do because, ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen his Mookie Betts collection when he and I first started hanging out and talking the hobby. But now, other than that beautiful, beautiful rainbow you have, I have not seen a new Mookie card.
Nope, 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 nope. But hey, that's sports. Can't keep them all. So that was kind of like the last thing to talk about, like news related. But the last thing I have is my take about the Major League Baseball in general, and I think a lot of people will agree with this one. So. Check this out. Hopefully this thing doesn't cut off on me again, because if you're listening, sorry if this thing is like choppy or cutting off, but this thing is like, I'm using Audacity Record and it's just not cooperating right now. So I apologize for that. So hopefully it doesn't cut off, which if I see it starting to cut off, I'll pause and then start back up again. Whatever. That's what I've kind of been doing. Anyway, I'm going to say that between 2017, and I've only watched baseball, of course, and been alive to comprehend what's on TV. So I'm not taking into account the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, whatever, because I wasn't alive. All right, I wasn't alive. And another thing, like 80s, like if you're gonna, like some people say, oh, I was around for the 80s. If you were like four. That doesn't count, all right? That doesn't fucking count. You got to...
Let them know. Let them know, Chris.
Yeah, that doesn't count, all right? Anyway, that between 2017 and now, and this upcoming... I will include this whole season, even though this season hasn't happened yet. I think that these past, what is it, almost 6 years have been the best MLB has ever seen in terms of... Who's watching the game? Who's playing the game? Like the social media that it brings in, the teams that have won, who the players are, where the players have been, the new teams that they're going to, the scandals, the 2020 season,
the pandemic,
the short season, the pandemic, the season after with the Braves and the season again, Houston finally went back and won when they wanted to prove everybody wrong. The Astros winning in 2017, Red Sox winning in 2018, the Nationals defining all odds in 2019, and then weird pandemic season, and then Dodgers winning a Mickey Mouse ring. Like this whole thing was like perfect.
Yeah, it's definitely
Even though it was not perfect, like everything that went on, we're dealing with the golden. Dude, I don't care what anybody says. Like Dallas Braden says it, and I firmly believe it from him because I'm getting this from him. We're in the golden age of the best talent in baseball.
Wow!
I don't care what anybody says. You can't compare it to the '90s because those guys were on steroids.
very bold.
Or in the early 2000s, because they were still on steroids. Like, yeah, granted, that was what they were doing. But this time now, like, we're in the golden age of, just the best players. And the reason why I bring it up this year, we got the WBC coming back after, 4 years? 2017 when USA won. And now we have a stacked team. You want to compare our USA team for this year compared to 2017? There's no comparison. This team is crazy.
And this is something you'll definitely touch upon more in future episodes. So
yeah, because I'm going to watch that team. Anyway, yeah. But like these past couple, yeah, think about it, dude. Like,
I hear what including
with the hobby too, which is like what we talk about, what I talk about on this podcast too, is like the hobby. Like, how much has the hobby changed in from 2016 to 2022? Not 2023. Like, a lot of stuff hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But like, dude, prices have gone up. Different simple cards have gone up. Autographs are crazy high. Like, accolades are being broken. Like Aaron Judge last year, dude, hitting 62 when no one thought 61 would ever be broken, and it gets broken 61 years later.
Yeah, how many people in April thought Judge would hit 60 home runs?
And then like Ohtani coming in 2018 doing what he did, getting hurt, and then coming back in 2021 doing, and then winning MVP.
Yeah.
No, we'll never get this again in our lifetime. Like, maybe not. Like, maybe we'll be like in our 50s and like think maybe it'll be happening again. But regardless, you're going to bring up like, oh, you remember that year when Judge hit 62? You remember when Trout was, or when Ohtani was pitching and hitting in 2018?
Yeah.
You remember the 2022 postseason when the Seattle Mariners made it? Like, everyone's going to bring that.
Good points.
These past couple of years are flying so under the radar. And then the rule changes, dude. The CBA, like, that was huge news. Even all the bad stuff that people or fans deem bad that's going on in MLB baseball are seen as like just the best. Like, how was it during the CBA? Even though there was the strike, like, oh man, are they going to come to agreement? Everybody was on Twitter, dude. I was on Twitter. Everybody was on Twitter waiting for the games. Like, we'll never get this again. Everybody hating on Rob Manfred. Oh, it's a piece of metal. Like, dude, the Astros things, like, everyone hated them. The brawls, like, there have been so many fights these past couple of years. 2018 Red Sox Yankees fight. Amir Garrett charging the dugout against the Pirates. Like,
yeah, shout out Joe Kelly, the hero.
Like, we'll never get these type of years again. Never get these caliber. I don't think we'll ever get these type of caliber players again. And the money.
You
bring all of this into one box, dude, these past couple of years of how much money has been for in 2016 to 2022 in a matter of 6 years.
Yeah.
$250, $300, $400 million contracts were never even heard of.
No.
Like, aside from A-Rod's a little bit. But, like, it was never like that. Like, all types of this, dude. Like, no. The point I'm getting, and I think everyone will agree with me, is that these past couple of years have been the best in MLB. If you've been like around, I guess, between like the 25 to 40 range of age,
yeah,
like to witness all this go on. Because if you get any younger, you've only seen a little bit of it. If you're older, then you've seen the 70s. So you could probably compare. But like these past couple of years have been like the best. Like, All-Star games are passing, World Series games are passing views on football games and All-Star games for the basketball.
Yeah.
Like, home run derbies are fun.
They are.
Like, I don't know. Like, that just these past 6-7 years have just been the best in MLB baseball. Everything included.
Very good points, because I got back into baseball in 2018 when you and I started hanging out. We started hanging out like spring, summer 18. I had been, you know, keeping track of like the Angels, but I became a Nationals fan again in 18 because of Juan Soto. And I remember every season since 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. even though last year was a bit difficult for me for different reasons. But I remember each season, not just my teams, but everything else you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Compared to, you know, I did watch like 2008 and 2009 Angels seasons. But after that, I was on, you know, I was into other sports and I was doing other things. And I would keep, I would like, you know, look at baseball here and there, but I wasn't committed to it like I, like I've been the last few years. And just the, like you just mentioned, this is stuff that has happened. Perfect games, no hitters, you know, home runs.
2021, run. We're like six no hitters.
Yeah, in like a month. I know. And like, you know, like you said, the Judge home run chase, the Astros winning the championship, the Braves winning a championship, the, you know, the games that, what was it, they had the games in the pandemic at Dodger Stadium and the playoff games. Remember all the teams had to play like in two stadiums or something? Like yeah, that was a thing.
Texas, they used the Rangers one.
Yeah, like that was a thing. And like, it's more than just what my teams went through and my players went through, but it's the whole league. Like you know, we enjoy Trevor Bauer, his whole saga, and like him signing with the Dodgers and tearing it up. And then after what everything happened, it's just like, remember all of it compared to like the previous 10 years and so on and so forth when, you know, we were younger. But
not that it wasn't memorable, because I still remember like from like, let's say 2006 to 2016.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I had two World Series wins for the Red Sox.
Did you? Did you?
Insane. But like, yeah, you still remember like I remember Dustin Pedroia winning Rookie of the Year and then MVP in 2008.
Yeah.
Like you remember all those years, but like these past couple of years, because like fans that were there, I don't know, like this is like a weird take, but I'm not even gonna say younger, but like between the ages of like 28 to like 38 are the perfect ages to witness everything.
Yeah.
To like you witness the early, like maybe a little bit of the late 90s. I remember a little bit of the late 90s.
I do.
But like the early 2000s, like you're like 13 or how?
I was probably 11. Like 11. 12.
Yeah, I was like 11 or 12. Like you remember, like you're old enough to know baseball, but not old enough to know what analytics are. Like, you know what I mean? But then good you point. Grew up and like you're in like in your 16, 17, and it's the late 2010s. Like now you're witnessing like the Giants dynasty, like Tim Lincecum, Bumgarner, like those Mr. guys.
Posey, yeah.
And then you're at the 25s, and then you're in the like the middle 2010s, and then you're seeing like the Royals, like what they won?
Yeah,
what?
They went back.
The Cubs, dude.
The Cubs.
You saw the Cubs win.
There are like two generations worth of human beings that never even saw the Cubs win a World like, Series, and we saw that
age to appreciate it. Yeah, I'm not discrediting like young kids, like oh, I saw my Cubs win, but like if you saw like game seven of that. Against the
Indians, yeah,
greatest game seven ever, World Series.
I watched I'll that whole thing.
I did. It was greatest ever. Like, what's his name hitting the home run? That Rajah Davis.
Yeah.
Oh God. Like oh shit! I went nuts. Like yeah. and then you come into like your late 20s, and then you're in this peak, or in your 30s or whatever. Like that's why I say this age gap. Whether in your late 20s or late 30s, now you're in this age gap where now you're seeing these young guys who are 10 years younger than you, doing this weird like badass shit in this point of Major League Baseball where you have a bunch of other weird shit, cheating, CBA, strike, like almost down to a strike, pandemic, and then you're going into like all these other players that are just leaving teams, breaking hearts, like. Dude,
yeah,
tell me I'm wrong.
You bring up really good points, and it's a good thing that you
even it's shit, dude. Not even just baseball. We're perfect aged in the golden eras of movies with Marvel, DC. Even right? though they're all shit now,
yeah. Like, these sagas that we've experienced,
like oh shit, dude.
These are good points. It's a good thing you bring up the younger kids because it's just like we already went through it ourselves. They don't have no choice. They can only be experienced and. See so much because they've been alive for so long. Same thing with us because there's a bunch of older people than us that have been watching baseball way longer than us.
That's what I'm saying, like 45 and up.
Yeah, like they'll say 50s. Exactly. They'll say the 50s, the 60s, the 80s were their era. And what I'm pretty sure, I know for a fact the stuff that happened in those years, in those decades were amazing, but we weren't there. We couldn't be there. They were.
I didn't watch Wade Boggs play. I didn't watch Kevin Youkilis play. I did.
Yeah, but compared to the today's guys.
Eckersley. I'm thinking Youkilis. Eckersley. I didn't watch him play. I didn't watch Jim Rice play. But do I know about it? Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
we can only learn so much from videos and textbooks and word of mouth compared to today where we can experience it. Yeah, we're in the digital age. Yeah, we're in social media, but still experiencing the sport, the players, the moments, you know, the incidents. It's just been amazing. But yeah, I agree with a lot of the points you're making, but it's just, what choice do we have then to enjoy it for what it is? You know, it's just.
So that's why I find it odd whenever someone tells me it, usually a non-baseball fan, say baseball is boring.
Yeah, I'm so tired of that.
Maybe it's because I'm in the know. I'm now currently in my life revolves around baseball. I can proudly say that now.
Oh yeah,
and I'm happy about it. But it's I've watched football. I've watched basketball. My golden age of basketball was the late 2000s and the early 2010s with my Spurs. That was my golden age.
Yeah.
I bragged about my Spurs because they were the best.
You bragged about them, yeah.
You couldn't. Now I don't because they suck. They're just not the same. But I don't care for those sports anymore. But I watched them. I watched Spurs games. I've been to Spurs games. I've seen the Silver Stars, their cheerleaders.
Yeah.
But it blows my mind that people still say that baseball is boring. Maybe they're not in the know or in the circle, but
yeah, but you can only use ignorance is bliss as an excuse for so long.
Their argument is always the game is boring.
Yes.
Not MLB. MLB is not boring.
It is
not. There's so much shit going on.
Right? How many times have you and I have been hanging out and we're watching a random game and little moments happen where we show excitement, we show reaction to it because we see it, you know?
The back-to-back home run, home run, home run game.
Yeah, I remember
the Blue
Jays
and the Red Sox.
Yeah, we saw Will Smith go up against Will Smith. You remember that? So it's just the game is not boring. You're boring. You don't have to like baseball. You know, you're the same, and I'm the same, too. You don't like hockey. You don't like football.
I don't.
I love those sports, but, you know, I don't like cricket. And there's a whole nation of people who love cricket. I just don't know the game.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe you're not in the know. I'm. What's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? I'm not ignorant. What's the word I'm looking for? Not illiterate.
No, you're.
What's the word I'm looking for? Hold on.
Starts with an I, right?
Yeah, I think it starts with an I. You know what I'm talking about? Not oblivious.
I know what you're trying to say. Oh my, I'm blanking too.
But. Hold on. Oh my god, what's the word I'm thinking about, dude?
I don't want to say it because I'm not trying to sound stupid.
No. What are you thinking?
No, I'm trying to think of the word, but I just can't think of it either.
It's not ignorant. It's not arrogant. It's not oblivious. What is the word I'm thinking of?
I'm drawing a blank here. I apologize.
I know. Hold on. It's going to bug me if I can't get it. Hold on. Dude, oh my god. What is that word I'm thinking of, dude? Oh god, I can't get it. Dude, what's the word I'm thinking of? Oh, thank you. Why do I keep trying to say ignorant? I'm not ignorant to it.
I don't want to say unsophisticated either.
No. Fuck, dude. What is the word I'm thinking of?
Uneducated? No.
No, it's another word for uneducated. But I'm not.
It's an awareness thing. I know what you're referring to.
It's going to hit me later on, dude. I'm going to end up texting you fuck you, was this word? Anyway.
It will.
But I'm not blank toward the other sports. I just don't watch them. Of course, maybe there is stuff. Maybe there is cheating scandals going on in cricket that we don't know about.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. It's just, you know, you can only take so much information and content in today's age.
But I will say, the two sports that are most popular, football, basketball, they don't have a lot of the stuff that goes on like what baseball has.
Yeah.
Like, when you talk about scandals from those teams, they're like scandals, like rapists and shit. Drug dealers.
Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Over there saying some shit.
Alabama college kid right now is in deep water because of something or other. But, I know what you're saying. We're not dissing on the sports. It's something different about the fans. I know what you're going to say, but I love all sports. I've tried to learn all sports. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I've been learning about sumo wrestling and like other things. And like, I know rugby, and you know, there's more like international offbeat sports compared to, you know, American sports. It's just, I can recognize the sport for what it is, you know, from the most professional leagues to the, you know, the heart and soul of a sport, how you play it or how you participate and how you enjoy it, how you experience it as well. It's just at the same time, you can only do so much nowadays in the advent of social media and technology, where all the content and all the stuff you're taking in, it gets overwhelming, because not just from a supporter or viewer, or like I said, seeing it as a form of entertainment, but getting into the hobbies, the collecting, the memorabilia, the attending actual events. It's a whole thing. So
I think the word I'm trying to I think it was ignorant.
I know what, like, you're saying.
Because I was going to say, I'm not ignorant to those sports.
No, you're aware of them.
Yeah, but I'm aware. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Am I thinking of ignorant?
Yeah, I don't want to get into definition.
Yeah, right. If another word comes in my head, then I'll remember. But I was thinking of ignorant. But I don't know. But anyway, that was my whole take. Like that these past couple of years in Major League Baseball have just been the absolute best.
Yeah, and I could even forget what happened even if I wanted to. Like, just my team winning a championship or your team winning a championship. It's just everything else you mentioned. Like, we saw it, we experienced it, we reacted to it, and it's just like you said, we remember the other stuff, you know, the earlier years. It's just, we love not just talking this sport, we love the sport, and we just embrace it for what it is. So,
but yeah, that's my take. That was good. That's all I got. You got anything else? Nothing.
Pardon me. Other than Series 1 just came out. We were watching some breaks while we're recording this, but I have. I had a choice, but by circumstances that I didn't enjoy this last year plus, I have not been getting not just a lot of baseball, but other sports cards. I showed you my recent pickups. I did get some eBay singles recently, but just compared to what we were doing in 18 and 19, I really want to not only get back into it this year, collecting baseball and other sports cards, but I just want to do it better than I was before. So I'm looking forward to not just the new product, but and new releases and new designs, but just the stuff that has been out, and, you know, just the hobby side of what we love. So I'm looking forward to not just talking it and doing it, but just sharing it with you like we did initially when we first started hanging out. So we'll talk about Series 1, Series 2, and Chrome, and Stadium Club, and Heritage, you know, all these other sets, and the advent of Fanatics in the next year, which will be a thing.
Next year.
So we haven't forgotten about that. So I'm just... I am glad to be recording with you again, even though I will not be in every episode. But I just want to acknowledge how much of an awesome job you've been doing. And not just with this podcast, but the interviews and the future content you have been teasing, not just me with, but in your socials as well. I encourage everyone to not only continue listening, but to keep supporting a true baseball lover and Mr. We Watch, We Collect, Chris Castagnon right here.
I fucking love baseball, bro. Anyway. Sweet, man. I think that'll be it for this episode. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Thank you to Believe Podcast Network. stay watching, stay collecting, and I'll catch you guys in the next one.